Good morning. This is Sunday, January 10th, about 10 o'clock a.m. here in the Appalachian Mountains of North Carolina, USA. It's snowing lightly. It's not really sticking because it's still, 36, 37 degrees out, but it's the first snow that I've seen of the year, and it's always pretty to look at. This, you know, if you've ever followed or read much of Joel Goldsmith, you know that he was giving a lecture, I think it was in Oregon, and up until then he thought that, well, I guess he didn't think at all, but suddenly he started talking about the fact that thought is not power, which startled him because he didn't even know it when it came out of his lips. Yes, I think he mentions that in the Thunder of Silence book. Thought is not power. And the reason why it startled him is because he had come up through, and many of his friends and students had come up through, Christian Science, where you take thought for the principle. You practice the principle by divine thought, by knowing the truth in the mind, knowing the letter of the truth. However, later he says that Mary Baker Eddy, the mother of Christian Science, said in the book, of the Christian Science practitioner, that you have to go beyond the mind. And so that's where he first got his first inkling of that. But he didn't really understand it, and suddenly found himself in Oregon making the statement to everybody that had practiced taking thought, taking spiritual thought, suddenly found himself saying, thought is not power. And it startled him and everybody else. It caused him to go deeper. And thank goodness, because in his going deeper, he was able to penetrate in his meditation into that realm of silence, into the Christ mind, which is not a taker of thought. And so he began to say, and it began to appear in his writings, thought is not power. Thought, the mind, the proper function of the mind is an avenue of awareness. He said that in many places, in many of the writings, and in many of his talks. And I had read it myself dozens and dozens of times. But it didn't register. You know, these truths, they have to register in consciousness. Then they become what is called bone of your bone, flesh of your flesh. Once they register in consciousness, that's the demonstration. And then in a little while out here, it appears. But the demonstration is always within. And so I was not aware of this. It had not registered yet. But last week, as I was giving the talk, suddenly it came to me, and I heard myself say, for the first time ever in any of my talks that I can remember, that thought, human thought, takes place in the human mind. And it's just thought, just that. No power, no law, no substance. But God's thoughts, my thoughts are not your thoughts, saith the Lord. And so God's thoughts are not thoughts. God's thought is awareness. And so, in my meditation, I do not want human thought, statements of truth, coming to me as human thought. I want statements of truth, or a statement of truth, coming to me as conscious awareness. Conscious awareness is your consciousness demonstrating itself. Thinking is world thought demonstrating itself. And so last week was the first time I consciously saw, yes, yes, of course, lo, these many years of working with the letter, which have all been necessary, is taking thought for truth or about truth. But thought about truth is not truth. And it's the truth that sets you free, not thought about truth. So then how do we have this truth? We come to a place where we stop taking thought about truth. What good is all these thoughts I've had all these years? They haven't healed anything. And they haven't really revealed anything. It's been sort of a mental enjoyment, but it hasn't demonstrated. So I do not need thought about truth. I need truth. Now then, let me be silent. Let me be still. And Father, reveal yourself. Let me be consciously aware. Let me have the conscious awareness, the consciousness of thy presence. And when I am flooded with that conscious awareness, I am suddenly aware of a presence. It's no longer a statement of truth or a thought about truth. It's truth itself revealing itself in and as consciousness, my consciousness. That then demonstrates itself. I don't have to push it out. I don't have to take thought to make it demonstrate. I simply have to rest. There remaineth a rest to the people of God, to the children of God. And that's us when we discover this great truth. And I thought I would look and see, is that really so? You know, we like to find corroboration and verification. So I looked in my favorite chapter in The Art of Spiritual Healing, and it says in here, in the chapter, What Did Hinder You? You know that chapter, we reviewed it many times. It says, for years after I had learned to recognize that all forms of sin, disease, lack, limitation, and depression are hypnotism or human thought, the puzzle was to discover how to break that hypnotism. What could I do? It was then that I discovered that scriptural passage which you will find throughout all my writings. The stone was cut out of the mountain without hands. By the time I had spent months and months puzzling on its obscure meaning, the answer began to be apparent. The weapon against error, our offense and defense, is something that is neither physical nor mental. It is something that is no action, no words, no thoughts, only the awareness of God. And there it is, the confirmation. Joel discovered that what breaks the hypnotism, what breaks the thought, is something that is no words and no thoughts, only awareness. And further, he says on the next page, as you carry this out in practice, in your meditation, in your silence, watching the stone being formed in and of your consciousness, okay, as you carry this out in practice, in your meditation, taking no thought, standing still, watching the awareness formed of your consciousness, you stand to one side as a witness or a beholder, and a state of peace will come. Then you will catch a glimpse of God as is, not a power over anything, just God is. You begin to understand that no power does anything to anyone, and you become a beholder, or what? A state of awareness, as reality begins to appear. All problems fade out in proportion as you develop this ability to be quiet, to behold, to witness, to have that conscious awareness of divine harmony unfolding. The principle? When the human mind is not functioning, there's no more hypnotism. When you're not thinking thoughts or words, you're not thinking statements of truth, the human mind is stopped and the hypnotism is gone. When you experience this, you will feel something which transcends the human dimension of life. Yes, you will come into the conscious awareness of God as is. You see that? So there's the confirmation I was looking for. And it had been there the whole time. What is it that we need? Do we need more statements of truth? No. That was in the days of the letter. Now we're in the days of the spirit. What do we need? We need the conscious awareness. But the conscious awareness comes not by taking thought. The conscious awareness comes by taking no thought. So, as I said, I never had the conscious awareness that of this principle about conscious awareness. I had the intellectual understanding. I had the thoughts about this. But last week, I came into the conscious awareness of conscious awareness. And this was not a thought. This was an actual avenue of awareness. And so Joel, it turns out, was telling this all through these many years. Yes, you must come into the conscious awareness, and you must move out of thinking. Now, let's take a moment here and do that. Let's take a moment and be still. Just be still. You don't have to know anything. You don't have to work that hard. Not by might, nor by power. Not anything you can do physically. Not anything you can do mentally. So put up your sword, even the mental sword of truth. Put it up. Those that live by a mental sword of truth will die by that mental sword of truth. And the letter killeth. Trust me. And if you don't trust me and you keep living by the letter, you'll see it for yourself. You cannot demonstrate God by the letter of truth. It is by the letter of truth that we come to see that all that we have known as the letter of truth is not going to help anymore. Now we must go beyond the letter to the spirit, the actual conscious awareness. And so do that in your meditation this morning. Now, close your eyes, become still. Okay? Let's do that now. Okay? Now, this morning, I got up and I turned within. I had no idea for any kind of a class, and I just said, Father, show me. And here was a book on my shelf I hadn't seen in years, Consciousness in Transition. It's a part of the trilogy. Anyway, originally it was called Metaphysical Notes. And in it, I believe it was 1948, so it would have been 7 years before the Kailua Study Series, he was trying to take the students from the letter to the spirit. That seems to be why he came, to lift up all those students who had learned the letter in various fellowships and spiritual movements. to come into the Spirit. And then the Spirit itself, coming through all of us, is what has been referred to as the second coming. Now, I turn to this chapter called Thought is Not Power, because I just felt led to it. And with what came last week, it fits right in. He says, "It popped into my head one day that thought is not a power. It is an avenue of awareness. It shocked me for a moment, having it come out of the clear sky when I was not asking for it. And then I saw that I, through the avenue of thought, can become aware of people in this room and know whether they are dressed in brown or green or black. But no amount of thinking I do can make it so. Not my thought, and not all the thought in this room will change that which is in this room. Therefore, thought, to me, becomes an avenue of awareness. Through thought, I have become aware of the great truth that you are the Christ of God. That is what you are and have been since time began. It just took me a long time to find it out, and others are still finding it out. And we, perhaps, are those others." Now, you see what he learned? The same thing we're discussing in our learning. Thought about truth is not power. It doesn't demonstrate anything. It stays in the mind. And a truth in the mind is human thought, or world thought, or universal thought. A truth to be demonstrated must be not a truth, but truth. That presence of God, the conscious awareness of I in the midst, that is what demonstrates. That is what becomes flesh and dwells among us. And so when you've had a problem, or somebody has brought you a problem, and you've known all this truth with the mind, he says later in the Kailua Study Series, that's not enough. He says we omit the next part. And what is the next part? The next part is when we say, okay, I've known all that with the mind now. Mind, be still. I would know the truth that would set me free. And then in the stillness, standing stock still, taking no thought, something reveals itself. There's a transcendental presence. We have a conscious awareness of I, Christ, in the midst of us. It causes us to take a deep breath. It causes us to relax, to rest. The world falls off our shoulders. We're taking no thought now. We're resting. Just resting on that sea of spirit as a conscious awareness, not as a thought or a belief. That conscious awareness becomes flesh and dwells among us. We see it in forms of harmony, blessing, forms of peace, forms of love, forms of just being. Therefore, when he says it came to him one day and he wasn't even trying, out of the clear sky, that thought must be still so that we may have an avenue of awareness, well, that's exactly what happened to me last week. Now, he says, if we took all the practitioners out of business today, it should make no difference to a person who has been on this path for any length of time. Yes, because why? Because the minute you know that the mind that was in Christ Jesus is your mind, from that moment on, it's doing something. You let it do something to your body, your business, your income, your human relationships and family relationships. Oh, it may seem slow in the beginning, unless you have a tremendous light such as Saul had when he became Paul. In that case, it might be quick, but even there, it was 9 years after Saul had that experience before he went out on a mission tour. It took that long to digest, unfold, and come forth, and so it is with us. Sometimes we catch a tremendous light of truth, he says. I noticed this in the days I was sending out my weekly letter. Only 2 years later, upon rereading them, would I understand certain statements and feel an inner conviction or realization of them. I knew it was true when I wrote it, but many were the statements which only 2 or 3 years later registered, and I said, "Ah, that was right." You will be voicing many truths today, which you intellectually agree are truths, but which you will not realize, and which will really register only 1 or 2 years from now. That is because it takes all that time to come down from our egotistical sense and really register in consciousness. If we were all really lifted up in spiritual consciousness, what I have said tonight would lift all of us into heaven. But one statement is registered with an individual here and one with another there, and many are not registered at all. They're coming through from spirit, but it takes a degree of spiritual awareness to be able to digest and catch them. I am sure many statements I make tonight will startle me when I hear them again. And I have often said, "Where did I ever get that?" That was the feeling I had last week when I heard myself say that my thoughts are not your thoughts. Yes, human thought is thinking. God's thoughts is awareness. And afterward I thought, wow, now where did that come from? And of course, as you see, I have had confirmation. Now, he says here, "My kingdom is not of this world." He says, I don't know how that registered with you, but I can tell you for the last 5 years at least, that quotation has been my life and my blood and my bones and all that goes up to make me. My kingdom is not of this world. After having been told that my kingdom is not of this world, what would you think of me if I started in doing some mental work for next month's rent? If that's not part of this world, I don't know what it is. Oh, I love this next part. What would you think of a person who, being told that the Christly kingdom has nothing to do with this world, went around worrying whether he was married or single? This point should be very clear to you. Listen, catch this if you can. Don't die and go to another world. Because right here, where we are, is that world visible to us only through our spiritual sense. We are always in the world in the sense of having everything that everyone else has. But we let it unfold and become a part of our being. All right, so he says, you don't have to die and go somewhere else in order to experience the kingdom. I think you are beginning to understand now what it is you have to do. I know I am. No, I don't have to go anywhere else. I don't have to die and drop this body and go up into the heavenly realms in order to experience the kingdom. I can experience the kingdom here and now when I allow conscious awareness to form itself or to appear. First in my meditation, very quietly, it sneaks in as a thief in the night, and suddenly awareness dawns. Or in his words, you stand a little to one side and become a beholder as consciousness reveals itself. Right here. And so first, very quietly, very silently, it steals in, and there's the conscious awareness has replaced conscious thinking. And now human world thought is not forming itself, but conscious awareness is appearing. It is the flesh that dwells amongst us. It is the I in the midst of us. It is slowly coming in, and I see it, I feel it, and I rest in it. And that's the first glimpse. In fact, that's the word he used, isn't it? We catch a glimpse of God as is. Yes, and for a moment I catch a glimpse. I have stepped out of the world mind. I am now in the sea of spirit. I am now in conscious awareness. I am now in God consciousness. I am consciously aware of God. Oh, here it is. So wonderful, so beautiful. I'm feeling it right now. That's not a thought. It's beautiful. It's a feeling. Flows into your being. It is your being. You are one. What a difference that is. That's the Word becoming flesh that dwells among us. And the Word is conscious awareness. Is it possible to live a life without taking thought? Yes, it is. And it begins in our meditations just that way. Is it possible to experience the kingdom of heaven here and now? Yes, it is, when we allow conscious awareness to flow. When our mind becomes an avenue of awareness instead of an avenue of thought. See, an avenue of thought is either good thought or bad thought. So it's the pairs of opposites. It's world thought. But an avenue of awareness is only the consciousness of is. It's not good or bad. It's just all. It's just infinity. Eternality. It's immortal. And it's is. Again, he says, we come to this point. Your future is going to depend on whether or not you can determine to seek only the consciousness of the presence of God, the God awareness, and let the things be added. That's going to be the measure of your demonstration. But the moment we start taking thought for anything that can be seen, heard, tasted, touched, or smelled, we're taking thought for the world, and Jesus told us, my kingdom is not of this world, and it is not. All right, so your future is going to depend on whether or not you catch the principle. What is the principle? The principle is take no thought. It's your Father's good pleasure to reveal, to give you the conscious awareness of the kingdom here and now. He says, if instead of taking thought for anything that had to do with person, place, or thing, your entire work had been for the conscious realization of the mind that was also in Christ Jesus, you would have heard it voiced or received a letter telling you something was waiting for you. He's talking about not taking thought and thinking, I've got to demonstrate supply, and I've got to demonstrate it right here in San Francisco where this class was going on. He's saying, instead of taking thought and trying to make something, trying to demonstrate something, if your entire work had been for the conscious awareness of the mind which was in Christ Jesus. The mind which was in Christ Jesus was the mind that was consciously aware of God's omnipresence. If you had worked on that, you would have heard a voice or received a letter telling you, no, your fulfillment is in Africa or Australia or Japan. And what he's saying what he's showing is the difference between taking thought about truth and trying to make a demonstration of supplier, companionship, or health, and relinquishing thought about truth and hearing, receiving impartations, receiving the conscious awareness from God, of God. And, in fact, he tells us in his own experience, if you recall, he was in England, and he was going to head back to Hawaii, and then the voice said, "Why don't you go down to South Africa first?" So he went to the airline immediately, and he said, "Could I get to Hawaii by going down to South Africa first?" And the airline person said, "Yes, of course." So, thinking there was 30 people down there, if you remember, he arrived down there and there was 300. Definitely, there was fulfillment in South Africa. But it came not as a thought, but as a still small voice, as a conscious awareness. So, is it possible to live without taking thought? Did this man not show us? Come and follow me. I have found a way to live without taking thought. Again, he says, the minute we say we are seeking the kingdom of God and His rightness, what we are to seek is not our sense of rightness, not more dollars, more companionship, more health. We are to seek His rightness, or the spiritual sense of good, or the spiritual awareness, the consciousness of God. Now, if you really knew spiritual sense of supply, you would find it to be far different than your thought about supply. Yeah. So what do you want to demonstrate? You want to serve God or serve thought? Here, the name of this chapter, Thought is Not Power. And there's a great example down here. Let's see, where is it? I'll find it here. It's pretty neat. Okay, so he's going to give us an example of what happens when the Word becomes flesh and dwells among us. When some one person has that experience of oneness with God, which is a majority. When one person has the conscious awareness and is not taking thought about truth. He says, perhaps some of you remember the illustration of that at the Chicago World Fair, when Kate Buck had a man come to her with a visible growth who asked her to talk to him about God. He did not ask for treatment, so she spent 2 hours talking about God. That man left her office without asking for or receiving further treatment. In the morning, the man's wife telephoned that the growth had entirely disappeared. You see, in that 2 hours, Kate Buck had elevated herself to such a state of spiritual consciousness that she was not conscious any longer of what that man was presenting. In that purified state of consciousness, she didn't have to declare, "Oh, this is suggestion. This is hypnotism." No, she had the conscious awareness of God. And when you have the conscious awareness of God, it demonstrates itself. And it did. The Word became flesh and dwelt among us as a man who had a growth that disappeared. So, he says, many people think there's going to be a second coming, but I think you and I are that second coming. Yes, we must experience the Christ not by hearsay, but by actual demonstration, actual contact. So, watch the consciousness of the presence of God. Open your consciousness to the inflow of good. Do not outline in what form it will come, or through, or with whom, or where, or when. Just open your consciousness to God and let it become evident or manifest. Not my will, but thine be done. And please, not with mental work, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit. Every word of truth, remember, is a treatment. You do not have to be repeating and affirming it. No, every word of truth you entertain and let drop is a treatment. Not by might. The effect of truth itself is the might. So, again, yes, in the beginning we take statements of truth because we don't know the letter. We don't know the correct letter. And these things frighten us. We experience lack, limitation, or disease, or loneliness. And it scares us. But we learn slowly the letter. And we say, okay, yes, that's right. I was told this way back there. Oh, yes, Jesus said that. Oh, yes, Buddha said that. Oh, yes, yes, the Father said this. Now we're able to slow down a little bit in our meditation. And if we're persistent, what is it that Joel says? If we practice the presence out here in our day-to-day affairs, and we add meditation, eventually we will have the experience. What is that experience? That experience is moving out of, or behind, or above, taking thought, entertaining statements of truth in the mind, to having the actual experience of truth itself revealed. The conscious awareness, the conscious feeling. This is what spiritual discernment is. Yes, it's foolishness unto the mind. And the mind, the human mind, cannot receive it. Yet, when the human mind is still, there's an area of consciousness, there's an avenue of awareness that becomes aware of it. And so, through spiritual discernment, or an avenue of awareness, you become aware. Now, I want to go over this whole thing again here. It's 1.5 pages, but it says it better than anything I have ever read. And it's a course in What Did Hinder You in the Art of Spiritual Healing. And it says, in spiritual healing, whether the claim is named Jones, Brown, or Smith, whether it's cancer, consumption, or polio, whether it's unemployment, depression, or unhappy relationships, do not be tricked into treating persons or conditions. Leave them alone and get back to the substanceless substance, to which you can give any name you like. Carnal mind, hypnotism, suggestion. It can be anything, as long as you interpret it as meaning nothingness. No substance, no law, and no cause. And what we are learning, what I am learning too, is that what is forming these appearances is human thought, also known as world thought, mental images, thinking. Nothing is good or evil. Thinking makes it so. And so these images are not good or evil. Thinking makes you believe they are. And so what we are dealing with in the practice of spiritual healing is thinking, or world thought, or human thought, or mental images, or hypnotism. It's not external. It's in the human mind. God is here, but we have no conscious awareness of it. And that's what we need. Now, when I see that this is, and I recognize from my training that this is, that is appearing is a mental image, is in the human mind, human thinking, then how do I get from there to conscious awareness? Because I don't want more statements of truth or more human thinking. More human thinking is not going to overcome human thinking. I'm still standing in human thinking. So how do I get from there to the conscious awareness? Well, that's what he says here. When you really begin to comprehend that in healing you are not dealing with people, when you learn to eliminate them and their claims from your thought, and in every instance deal with the root of the problem, which is carnal mind or human mind or thinking, which is nothingness, then you will find how quickly you will be able to become consciously aware, there it is, of a spiritual presence within you. This presence cannot be felt until you are free of the barrier. The barrier is the belief in two powers. The barrier is the belief in something apart from God. The barrier is thinking. Because nothing is good or evil. You don't have a belief in good or evil until thinking makes it so. So the barrier is thinking. If you prefer, the word temptation can be used in place of hypnotism. Now, the carnal mind or human mind is not the opposite of divine mind. You're not looking for a divine mind to do something to the human mind. No, we're not going to God and saying, "Look, God, I have this hypnotism. Will you please do something to this hypnotism? It's really bothering me." No. The only point in recognizing it's hypnotism is so you'll stop trying to do something about it. Remember, Joel cautions us. First we see the problem and then we rush out to do something. It's the same thing in your meditation if you're trying to do something about the problem. If you're trying to throw statements of truth at it in your mind. You're still in the mind. The mind cannot free you. Only truth itself can set you free. So, the minute you have made the carnal mind nothingness, or the human mind nothingness, or the mental image nothingness, you don't have to do anything about it. That's all you ever had to know. Now turn from that. You're done. No more wrestling. You can do now just what it says in Scripture. You can rest in His Word. You can rest in this word, waiting for the Spirit of the Lord God to be upon you. And when it comes, it breaks the hypnotism. Okay, so you've come to the place where you recognize this is hypnotism. But am I going to wrestle with it? Am I going to stay up all night like Jacob? No. No, I'm going to cease from fighting. I'm going to cease all this wrestling. I'm going to cease from thought. I'm going to take no thought. I'm not going to work on that. I know what it is. And I've been told it's a nothingness, so I'm leaving that alone now. You go on, you make your noise. Yeah, I hear you back there, but I'm not going to work on you. I'm not going to wrestle with you. I'm turning away from you. Now, Father, reveal thyself. What is the word I'm going to rest in? It doesn't matter. Maybe this meditation, it's "Be not afraid, it is I." Okay, yeah, that's right. And so I rest. Now, it's still not done. The meditation isn't done until the conscious awareness of that I telling me to be still and be not afraid, until the conscious awareness of that I comes in. Now it's finished. Yes, now God is on the scene. You see, in that last moment, when Christ, Jesus, let's put it this way, when Jesus on the cross in that last moment surrenders completely, He says, "It is finished," and the Christ ascends. When you in your meditation say, "Okay, I see this hypnotism. I am not going to wrestle it. I'm not going to take thought about it. I'm not going to throw statements of truth or thoughts of truth at it. I'm coming out of that, and it is finished." And if you really mean that, then you can rest in whatever comes next. And it may be, "It is I, be not afraid." And it may be, "Fear not, I am with you." And it may be, "The Lord is my shepherd, I have no wants." And it may be, "Thy grace is my sufficiency." And it may be, "I have meat to eat that you know not of." And it may be, "I have hidden manna." And it may be none of those words. It may be just, "Oh yes, I remember the I in my midst." But whatever it is, you turn away after that, and you stand stock still. That's what he told us. The students weren't getting it. It was 9 or 10 years later. He decided to do an accelerated course called the Kailua Study Series. And he said, Now, you've had this letter for 9 years. Now drop it. Now it's time to move into the spirit or the conscious awareness. And so he says here, you can rest in the word, waiting for the spirit of the Lord or for the awareness. Spirit and awareness are one. Waiting for the awareness of God to be upon you. And when it comes, it breaks the hypnotism. The awareness dissolves thought. He says, "For years after I had learned to recognize all forms of sin, disease, lack of limitation, depression, or whatnot, or hypnotism, or mesmeric sense, the puzzle was to discover how to break that hypnotism. What could I do?" Yes. Thoughts about truth weren't getting it done. So what had to happen? It was then that I discovered the scriptural passage, "The stone was cut out of the mountain without hands." And he took that into meditation, and eventually it came to him, "Thought is not power." The stone, which is conscious awareness, is cut out of the mountain, which is consciousness, without hands. Without any help on your part, without any taking thought, but by taking no thought, conscious awareness comes out of consciousness without your help. By the time I had spent some months puzzling on its meaning, the answer became apparent. Our weapon against error, our offense and defense, is something that is neither physical, mental, no action, no words, no thoughts, only awareness of God. As you carry this out in your meditation, watching, you're not taking thought about truth. You're standing stock still and watching, beholding, witnessing, listening. Watching the stone being formed of your consciousness while you stand to one side as a beholder, this will bring a state of peace. And then you will catch a glimpse of God as is. Not a power over anything, just God is. Yes, this power does not come in and smash that hypnosis. No. No. When you catch a glimpse of God as is, nothing else is. When the sun comes up, the darkness disappears. It doesn't destroy the darkness. It just dissolves. When you have the conscious awareness of God as is, the thinking, the hypnotism dissolves. And you have God as is everywhere, omnipresent. You begin to understand. No power does anything to anyone. You become a beholder as reality or the conscious awareness of God begins to appear. And all problems fade out in proportion as you, my dear friend, develop the ability to be quiet and to behold and to witness divine harmony unfold. And because of the principle of oneness, your patient experiences this harmony too. The principle? Well, inasmuch as the activity of the human mind is the substance of hypnotism, when the human mind is not functioning, there's no more hypnotism. When you are not thinking thoughts or words, not even thoughts of truth, you are in a stillness. The human mind is stopped, and so hypnotism is gone. And when you experience this, you will feel something which transcends the human dimension of life. So he says, do not battle forms of error. Do not try to lop off rheumatism or consumption or cancer. Do not try to lop off old age. Do not try to change the appearance world. Get back. Get back. Yes, we are not here to demonstrate anything. We are not here to demonstrate anything you can see, hear, taste, touch, or smell. We are here to turn away from thought, turn away from the opposites, turn away from thinking, from hypnotism. We are here to stand still and behold, witness, catch a glimpse of God as is. He says, realize that in reality, God constitutes your being, and the only thing from which you are suffering is the universal belief in two. Get back and rest in the Word. Because if you battle one phase of error, even with statements of truth in your mind, and defeat it, 10 others may pop up to take its place. You have to wipe out that which is the cause of human discord. And what is that? That is the fabric of nothingness called the human mind, the carnal mind, which is not a power unless you are fighting it. So, he says, if with every claim that comes to you, you can set aside any thought and go back to some word or term which to you represents nothingness, not something that has to be risen above, but just nothingness, so that you have only one power, well, then you can sit in meditation, in silence, and you will feel the descent of the Holy Ghost. You will feel the peace that passes understanding. You will feel a divine presence and a release from fear or discord. That's exactly what the experience is. By taking no thought, by recognizing, okay, hold there, that's hypnotism. I'm not working on that. I'm not even going to throw statements of truth about it. Now be still. No, I'm going to rest in the Word. Thy grace is my sufficiency, thy presence, thy conscious awareness, and nothing else. And now I'm going to be still. Speak, Father. Reveal thyself. Then, in that standing still, I will feel a presence. And the conscious awareness of that presence gives you that feeling of, I'm released. I'm released. I'm free from the hypnotism. Thank you, Father. You really are here. Thank you. Consciously remember, as you go into your meditation, you are not praying for the purpose of changing, healing, reforming, or correcting anything or anybody. Establish that clearly in your mind. I am going into meditation, but there's no person and no condition involved. My meditation has nothing to do with a person and nothing to do with a condition or these thoughts about it. My meditation has to do with realizing a spiritual presence right where I am. So now I am going to be silent and let that realization take place. All that is necessary for harmony is God's grace realized, or the conscious awareness of the living presence. You do not have to know a lot of deep metaphysics. You have to know simple things, very simple things, such as the revelation of one power and the nothingness of human thinking. You understand that God is something more than a word. Much more even than a long list of synonyms, God is an experience, and no one knows God, really, until he has had that experience. So, isn't that wonderful? Confirmation on the right hand, confirmation on the left hand, that my thoughts are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are human thinking. But if you are still, and if you don't take up the sword of human thinking, even statements of truth, human thinking, if you will stand still and rest in the Word, I in the midst of thee am the way, then you will come into the conscious awareness of this Spirit, this presence, this is, the isness of God. You will come into the conscious awareness of this I in the midst of you. You will come into the conscious awareness of Christ. You will have Christ consciousness. That is what releases you from the hypnotism. And then it just seems the most normal, natural thing when you open your eyes and harmony appears and you know, this is the Word made flesh dwelling amongst me, amongst us. How beautiful, how wonderful. There's nothing left but to say, thank you, Father. Thank you. And you have an inner glow. You have experienced and are experiencing consciousness forming itself as heaven here and now. What is heaven? Heaven is that place, that realm, where God dwells. And as you come into the conscious awareness of God, you are in that realm. You have the conscious awareness or the realm where God dwells. You have the kingdom of heaven here and now. Look. Listen. See if this doesn't sound a little different than it has. Just a little part of the New Horizon. I know we repeat this same thing over and over, but maybe your consciousness will hear it a little different. The sense, which presents pictures of discord and inharmony, disease and death, is the universal mesmerism, or human thinking, which produces the entire dream of human existence. It must be understood that there is no more reality to good human existence than to discordant world conditions. It must be realized that the entire human scene is mesmeric suggestion, and we must rise above the desire for even good human conditions. He says that quite a bit, doesn't he? This experience comes when you rise above the desire to change evil into good. Understand fully that suggestion, belief, hypnotism is the substance or the fabric of the whole mortal universe, and that human conditions of good and evil are dream pictures having no reality or permanence. And so be willing for the harmonious as well as the inharmonious conditions of mortal existence to disappear from your experience, in order that reality may be known and enjoyed and lived. All of this that we just read, he's describing rising above, coming out of human thinking and the pairs of opposites. Don't try to change evil into good, disease into health, loneliness into companionship, lack into abundance. Drop it entirely. And when you drop it entirely, you'll come into the conscious awareness. You'll live as a beholder inside of your being, coming into the conscious awareness of the living kingdom of heaven, which is the omnipresence of God here and now. And then you'll know this. Above the sense life is a universe of spirit, governed by love, peopled with children of God, living in the household or temple of truth. And this world is real and permanent. Its substance is eternal consciousness. In it, there's no awareness of discords or even of temporary and material good. The first glimpse of reality of the soul realm comes with the recognition and realization of the fact that all temporal conditions and experiences are products of self-hypnotism. With the realization that the entire human scene, good and bad, is illusion, comes the first glimpse and taste of the world of God's creation and of the sons of God who inhabit the spiritual kingdom. You see that? Now, the experience at first is like watching the world disappear over a horizon and drop down from before us. There is no attachment to this world, no desire to hold on to it, because to a great extent the experience does not come until a great measure of our desire for this world has been overcome. Yes, he said that the master statement, "My kingdom is not of this world," was foremost in his consciousness for over 5 years. Slowly he came into the awareness, wait a minute, I'm not supposed to be treating people, places, conditions, I'm not supposed to be taking thought for anything of this world. What then am I going to God for? Well, first, I must recognize that the good and the evil, all of these pictures in the human mind, are nothingness. But there is something that's real. What is it? So that's what I'm going to God for. I'm going to God for reality, for a glimpse of reality, for a glimpse of that universe above the mind, for a glimpse of the kingdom of heaven here and now. And so I'm going to be still. Joel learned he was going to meditate. He was going to find a way to seek the kingdom of heaven and nothing but that. And he found that way. And the way is in meditation. The way is in taking no thought. The way is in listening, being receptive, resting. All of these things which are pointing to the surrender of self in order that we may come into the conscious awareness of the I in our midst, in order that we may have the conscious awareness of the presence of God, conscious awareness of the kingdom here and now. And when we have that awareness demonstrates itself. And so you don't have to demonstrate anything. You don't have to demonstrate anything, any person, any condition. You don't have to demonstrate any thought. You only have to rest out of all that and rest in the Word, rest in that inner temple not made by thought, and be a witness. Have the conscious awareness as it forms itself and dwells in your midst. And so you have nothing to demonstrate. It will demonstrate itself. I have come that you might have life. You don't force it out here and make it manifest by taking thought. I have come that you might have life, and life abundantly. Now you stand still and receive ye the gift of God. Remember? If you knew the gift of God and who that is that you're speaking to, you would have asked him and he would have given you that gift, springing up in you into life everlasting. And that's how you ask, by your silence. That's what Joel says in the next chapter, the New Jerusalem. Let my silence be thy dwelling place. That's probably one of the most beautiful prayers I've ever heard. O Father, let my silence be thy dwelling place. And then be that silence. Yes, I of my thought am nothing. But in the silence, the Father reveals itself. The presence appears. The Spirit descends. The voice speaks. the I reveals itself, and I rest in the conscious awareness of the living God here and now. Well, those are the principles I'm working with, and I hope you are too. And I'm not going to probably make a talk for the next week or two. My wife's going back in for surgery. It's nothing serious. In fact, when we sat in the doctor's office, it was really quite remarkable. This last time, I think it was an oncologist, if that's what they're called. And the lady looked at the report and she said, "What? Wait a minute." She said, "I have never seen a zero score before." And of course we said, "What's a zero score?" And she said, "A zero score is when they say they've tested you, and after this next surgery, you have a zero chance of this ever returning." And she said, "I have never seen this ever happen before, a zero." And so, of course, we looked at each other, and of course, yes, all of this is a zero, both the good and the bad. Now, Father, reveal thyself. And that's the principle I'm living with and working with, and I hope you are too. So, she'll be going in another week or so, maybe a week and a day. And I have to attend to the children around here, three teenage girls, and all their latest romances and everything that goes with that. And I have to be kind of busy while she's recouping for a few days. So I ask for your silence, that you permit this eye to flow through, and I'll get back here as soon as I can. Thank you. I love you, and gosh, this principle is just fabulous. Okay, then.